Well, good morning once again, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our sermon text this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 21, verse 6. God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. If you don't recognize that verse, those are the words of Sarah, Abraham's wife, after she gave birth to Isaac. To understand our sermon text in it a little bit better in its context, we're going to recap some of the story. We're going to read Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15, followed by Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Genesis chapter 18, 1 through 15. Then the Lord appeared to him. We're talking about Abraham here. By the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, and as much as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah, and he said, "Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared, and he set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here, in the tent." And he said, if you're reading in your Bible, you'll notice the word "he" is a capital H. And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." Now we're going to jump to Genesis chapter 21. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, "God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me." She also said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age?" Bear with me here. I'm going to jump to the New Testament now just to share another story that's relative to our teaching. We're going to read Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5. Many of you know this story. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Laughter and children. You know, many times I'm reminded of some of the greatest sounds to me. Laughter. The sound of my wife, the sound of my daughter laughing, gives me joy, gives me peace, gives me content, gives me happiness, it gives me satisfaction. There's just something about laughter. And laughter is a very good thing to share. Studies show that laughter plays a role in exercising our internal organs. It gets more oxygen to our brain. It boosts our endorphins. And it improves a person's optimism and outlook on life. And although modern research has brought us these findings, we've known it a long time ago. The ancient words of the ones who brought us the book of Proverbs also bear out this truth. Proverbs 17, verse 22 tells us, "A merry heart does good, like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Laughter is so natural. I believe that it's God's intent for us. I really believe God designed us to laugh. If you don't believe me, look at the face of the child on the front of your bulletin. This child is too young to have the gift of speech, too young to describe the joy and the pleasure of a thing that brings on the benefits of laughter. But if this child is safe and secure in his surroundings, if he is untroubled by distractions, then with no more prompting of a simple game of peekaboo or watching the silly antics of a puppy dog, this child can easily laugh out loud. One study tells us that children up to the age of 5 laugh approximately 300 times a day. 300 times a day. Can you imagine laughing 300 times a day? Probably not, because that same study tells us that adults laugh less than 20 times a day. Weighed down and worried by so many things, young adults and not so young adults, we no longer fill our lungs with God's gift of laughter. As we cope with our grades, or maybe our reputations, or our jobs, or our portfolios, our health, our family matters, even our finances, it can feel sometimes as though there's nothing or very little to laugh about. And when we do laugh, sometimes it's at the expense of another person whose misfortunes seem somehow amusing. And that's not very nice. Sometimes we laugh because we're embarrassed or nervous, and we use this jovial sound to cover up our emotions. And sometimes we laugh out of disregard and with mockery, doubting whatever it is we just witnessed or heard. These types of laughter do not bring health or healing. But this type of laughter is what we heard in the first part of our Genesis text. Let me set the Genesis text from chapters 18 and 21. Just set the stage for this. Back in the 12th chapter, God selects from among all the people in the land a 75-year-old man named Abram and his 70-ish aged wife Sarai. And God says to Abram, "Leave your country, leave your relatives, leave your home, and I will show you where to go. I will bless you, make your name great, and make you a great nation. Everyone will know who you are, Abram, and every nation will be blessed through you." Fast forward now, several years later. Abram has left everything familiar to him. He and his wife Sarai have traveled through Canaan to Egypt and beyond. They have fought with, separated with, and returned to rescue his nephew Lot, who's in the middle of a mess, a battle he couldn't win. And now after all of this, in the 15th chapter of Genesis, God shows up again, and he says to Abram, "I will give you a great reward." But Abram's probably tired by now, because he responds, "Well, the one thing I really want, you haven't given me. I have no children." And that's how rewards and blessings, both of which you've promised me, God, are made known in these parts. You know, in light of Abram's complaining, God invites him to walk out under the stars, under the darkened sky. And God says, "Abram, try and count the stars." Pretty hard to do, isn't it? Well, guess what, Abram? "You will have as many descendants as there are stars." Genesis chapter 15, verse 16. "Your wife Sarai will give you a son of her own body, and she will become the mother of nations." You know, as soon as God finishes speaking, for the first time in biblical record, we encounter the presence of laughter. Abram laughs, maybe with disdain, maybe with disregard, but certainly he laughs with doubt. And under his breath he says, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" Now we're going to fast forward once again. This time we're going to fast forward a couple of decades. This is where our first Genesis text picks up. Abram, whose name is now Abraham, 99 years old. His wife, who is now Sarah, is somewhere in her 90s as well. And for the past 24 years, they've been traveling about as drifters, waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled. They've wandered around, and they must have long ago ceased to laugh. Into this scene steps the three beings that Abraham encounters. He greets them. Here, remember when I mentioned the capital H? The Lord here is involved. For the text clearly states that it was the Lord who appeared to Abraham. 24 years later, God shows up to reaffirm the promise made to Abraham in this outrageous announcement that he and Sarah will bear a child. And then 24 years later, in the 18th chapter of the second incident, the laughter is recorded, but this time it's Sarah whose laughter indicates disbelief and doubt. You know, I love the story of Abraham and Sarah. I love the raw honesty of the people of God, the patriarchs and matriarchs of our faith. I love their humanity, and I love their inability, as funny as it sounds, to always and easily believe. It's hard. You know, when I look at the days of my own life, when I look at the signs or promises that God has made to me that I did not believe, could not believe, would not believe, when I look at how often I laughed at God's hope for me, or when I received encouragement from family and friends that one day I'd be at a pulpit preaching the Word of God, you know, my response was laughter filled with disbelief. My response was laughter filled with doubt. And I know I sounded like Abraham and Sarah. And I imagine that there are others here, maybe listening to this message somewhere, with their own doubtful suspicions and suspicious responses to God. The laughter that Sarah, Abraham, and myself have let escape our lips, it's not the laughter of the child in front of this bulletin. It's not the laughter of one who is safe and secure. It's not the laughter of one who trusts. No, the kind of laughter that escapes Sarah and Abraham and others' suspicious lips is the laughter of one who is worried and of one who is distracted. It's the laughter of one who is conscious of all the ins and outs of this crazy, complicated life that we lead each and every day. And we let it get to us. The laughter we heard in our readings this morning, and sometimes from our own throats, it's the laughter of a burdened heart, and it doesn't feel confident. How sad that must have been for God. Because when you think about it, God had come to this earth dressed as humankind, come to this earth just to confirm the promise that he made to Abraham. And all God heard was laughter and doubt. Certainly God must have expected better. God must have expected to hear laughter that emanated from a place of confidence and belief. God must have expected that the confirmation of blessings, the answer to prayer, would have caused Abraham and Sarah to laugh freely and to laugh frequently. But if this is what God expected, then God was disappointed in Sarah and Abraham. And if the shoe fits, maybe us as well. My friends, God has promised you and me so many things. He's promised us as individuals. He's promised us as a church family. He's promised us as a community. He's promised us as a country. As individuals, God has promised us from Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that we are at the heart, at the center of the heart of God. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and secure your future. He's also promised that as we follow him, there will be good in our lives. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God has promised that the very Spirit of God will always be with us even until the end of the ages. From Matthew 28, verse 20. And from John chapter 15, God has promised that we are and always will be deeply loved. For greater love has no person than this, that he would lay down his life for a friend. And for those who follow, I have called you friend. The Bible is filled with promises. And God has promised us as a community, the group of us, that we are people who bear within our beings spirits of power, of love, and a strong mind. Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 9, that we will be able to use our power to be witnesses, to tell the story of God's great love, and in so doing, make a difference in the world. There's another promise from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, that we will be agents of salt and light, agents of change. We will be the ones who illuminate dark places with the truth and the hope of Christ. One more promise from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 and 6. The promise that we will have the ability to come together and use all of our gifts and talents for the good of the whole. But we, like Sarah and Abraham, have heard God's promises through a veil of worry and weight on our shoulders, and maybe we laughed at God. Because of our doubt and our disbelief, we've laughed not like an innocent child, but as one who has given up the faith that comes of being a child of God. My friends, it's not too late. Thank God. Jesus gives us permission to consider again our rightful role, our rightful place as a child of God whose heart is filled with laughter. When Jesus, in the midst of the crowd of disciples, those who knew him best, those who had traveled with him and witnessed the miracles, when he drew that child into his embrace, he was teaching his disciples, he was teaching us, that the way we must be, the characteristics we must embody, are those of a child. He was teaching them, and is teaching us, we must have the heart of humility, and I dare say, joy and laughter of a child. Unless you become like one of these, he said. You and I, Sarah and Abraham, the disciples gathered around Jesus, must be willing to trust in God the same way a child trusts in his or her loving parents. We must be willing to believe that the promises of God are true. Like the child on the front of the bulletin trusts that the one who has made him laugh, we must be willing to trust that God is with us. We must be willing to trust that God does care for us. And we must be willing to trust that God will provide for us. Trust that God has not forgotten who we are. Trust that God has not forgotten what we need. Trust that God has not forgotten that we are his beloved children. And having read Abraham and Sarah's story, we must trust that when the blessings that we have prayed for do not come according to our calendar, when the answers to our questions do not appear as quickly as we might hope, we must trust that the same God who knew why it was best for Sarah and Abraham to bear a child in the opposite of their youth, that same God is working for your good and sending your blessings and your answers right on time. I love the Abraham and Sarah story because it's my story. It's a story I can relate to. It's a story of doubtful, disbelieving laughter that comes out at first. But then when we have faith, when we're willing to work according to God's divine plan, our doubt and our disbelief are turned into laughter filled with joy. Laughter that honors the provisions of God, and laughter that serves as a witness to everyone we meet. Did you hear what Sarah said in the sermon text? God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. Let us know her story. Let us be like her and laugh and believe. Like the child that Jesus welcomed to his side. Like the child who adorns our bulletin. Like the child Sarah now calls Isaac, whose name means God brought me laughter. Like the child who lives in each and every one of us. We must believe that God does love us, does move in mysterious ways to guide us, so that we will not be disturbed or distracted by what life will throw at us. And we can laugh the kind of laugh that comes from a heart that is certain That's what God longs to hear. Our laughter, our childlike laughter. There's nothing sweeter than the sound of laughter from a child. May we in our lives find the confidence to laugh, not out of doubt, not out of embarrassment, but out of the assurance that God is present, that God will, as we walk with God, guide our steps and make our days beautiful and make our laughter joyous. May we in our lives know that we are God's children, designed to laugh, called a child of blessing, called a child of promise. Each and every one of you is a child of blessing. Each and every one of you is a child of promise. You are the one that God designed for all of us to laugh with. Love the very God who created you. Love the Son who died for you. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son Jesus, who confirmed your promises to us, Lord God, that we have in your word. Lord, I pray that we laugh with confidence, with joy, and we share this exuberance, Lord God, of your grace and your mercy with those we face on a day-to-day basis, with our family, our friends, our co-workers. Lord God, I pray that your promises continue to give us hope, and we continue to call on you and thank you every day, Father God. I pray, Lord, that we have the faith of a child. As a child looks to their parents with that light in their eyes, that trust in their heart, Lord, that we look to you with those same things. May we call upon you daily. May we feel comfort in your presence. May we trust you and laugh with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. At this time, let us offer each other the sign of peace, followed by our communion message.